Really stirring. Isn't that amazing? I tell you what, there's a new wind on the arts, and isn't there? You can feel it, can't you? I'm telling you, I love that. Ah, kind of tore me up. I went to squalling a little bit. You know, guys from Texas, you're not supposed to squall all that much. You know the difference between weeping and squalling? Mucus. That's what it is. You know, I'm tired of the church weeping. Well, you know, they go, oh, I'm so moved. Nah, we need to fall down the floor and squall and bawl over what Jesus has done. Don't you believe that? Yeah. I'm tired of all this dignity and all this veneer and all that. God wants us to be real. I'm telling you, there's a hurting, desperate world that needs the love of Jesus. And I really love what these children were doing and singing. And listen, God wants to demonstrate that He's alive. We're delighted to be here on Resurrection Sunday. I'm telling you, no telling what God will do. I'm tired of people coming in with a blasé, well, you know, been there, done that. It's just another. No, listen, God's about to turn up the burner. You believe that? He's going to bring back awe to the body of Christ, where we walk in, our mouth drops open, our knees begin to quake and shake, and we go, oh, my God, no telling what He'll do. I tell you what, God can do anything He wants to. I checked his resume. He's boss. He can do anything he wants to. And he wants to do good. Nahum 1:7 said, the Lord is good. He is good. He's not going to be good. He is good. Look at your neighbor and say, he is good. I have been delighted to be here. I had the best time at the youth conference. Listen, those young people were wild. I tell you what now, anybody my age that comes to the youth conference, for God's sake, bring earplugs. Either that or get somebody to pray for your hearing. I'm telling you, that was intense. But God likes that. He's not afraid of it being loud. Have you read the book of Revelation? Heaven's not going to be near as quiet as we thought it was. Have you read that? There's multi-winged creatures. There's eyes and wings and lightnings and vibrations. We're not up there on a little cloud going, kumbaya, I'm the Lord. No, dear God, I'm glad we got an active God, aren't you? Now, if you've got a little plastic God you can set on your dash or put him out in the yard, you can do anything you want to with him. But we got a living God. The Bible said it's a fearful thing, an exciting thing, a dreadful thing, an awesome thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Don't you want a living God? That's what this day's all about. Now, I don't know, but I like to study human history and find tipping points, find when things changed. You know, the greatest tipping point, I think, in the whole history of humanity is recorded in the Bible in Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. And John read it for you earlier when he read about the angel's report. When the angel reported, he is not here, he is risen. I believe that's probably the greatest statement ever uttered on earth. He's not here, he's risen. That's what separates us from all the other cultic religions in the world. I mean, listen, there's no ashes in an urn. There's no boxes. There's no bone in a box. Our Savior's alive. He's alive. And I believe the greatest tipping point in the history of all of humanity is he is not here. He's risen. Now, remember Mary Magdalene? You heard the story. Mary Magdalene, and she was coming to do a noble thing, but she had the wrong motive. She had the right motive, but the wrong agenda. She was coming to minister to a dead Savior. Now, that's a noble thing, but aren't you glad she didn't get there and go, oh, man, looks so natural, looks like he could rise up and talk. No, he had already risen up. You know, I pastored for 26 and a half years. I had to officiate at tons and tons of funerals. You know how that is. You know, and I got kind of tired of hearing some of the cliches. You know, they walk up to the casket and they go, look just like he could rise up and say something. Nah, he looked dead to me. You know, they look pallid and purple and they got some neon lights on him trying to brighten up the place. Listen, I'm glad she didn't go there and find a pale, dead Jesus and put some salve on him, aren't you? That was her intent. She was going to get there. She was trying to do something out of a good heart. But I'm telling you, I know people today that still have the same concept. They're trying to do something good, and they don't even have an idea that we've got a living Savior. He don't need some salve. He needs you. She was going to come put some Vaseline on him or something, you know, prepare his body for burial. Now I know he's alive. Aren't you glad he's alive? I tell you what, if he's not living in you, you don't belong to him. Romans 8, 9 through 11 says, if the spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwell not in you, you are none of his. Aren't you glad that the spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in you? I'm telling you, if he's not, this is the day for you to get born again. I'm telling you, God wants to birth you into the kingdom of God where you have a living Savior. And now, here's what I want to talk to you a little bit. You know, sometimes I get so excited I could thread a sewing machine and it running. You know, I'm that away today. Man, do you feel stirred up today? I tell you, I really do feel stirred up. You know, let me say this while we're talking about funerals and stuff like that. John, did you hear about the mafia mogul that came to a preacher? This mafia mogul, his brother had got killed, one of, you know, gangland kind of killings. And so this wealthy rascal of a fella, a mafia leader, he comes to this priest or this preacher and he says, I want you to preach my brother's funeral, but I'm going to pay you $1 million if you'll call him a saint. And he said, what? He said, yes, I want you to preach my brother's funeral. And in the funeral, if you'll call him a saint, I'll give you $1 million. So the preacher thought, let me pray about this a moment. He said, I'll do it. And so here's what the deal was. Can you imagine this now? The mafia's brother is a rat. He's a slime ball. He never trusted Jesus. He never did anything good. He's a robber, a mugger. You know what I mean? Just so anyway, he's dead as a doorknob. And so the preacher's made a covenant with his brother, the leader of the mafia, that he's going to call him a saint during the message at the funeral. I want to listen to that, don't you? So here it is. Preacher gets up there and he says, you know, here's Joe. He was the biggest slime ball you've ever seen. He never did one single thing worthwhile. He was the most ungodly, ratty, scummy scoundrel you could ever see. And then he looked, he said, but beside his brother, he's a saint. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, boy. Yeah, I like that, don't you? Pay him the money, man. Listen, I know. You go, listen, we're supposed to be serious. Oh, lighten up. It's okay. It's okay. I tell you, I found a verse in the Bible. It said that Jesus rejoiced far above all of his brothers. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. I tell you what's wrong with some of you. You're religious. All religious. That makes you mean, cynical, and sour, judgmental, and critical. I found out about religion. God don't like it. I read Isaiah chapter 1. Did you read Isaiah 1? Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible says, away with your new moons and your Sabbaths and your holy convocations. They weary me. One translation says, I abhor the sizzling of your fat. I'll tell you what he does love, relationship. Where you can just come to him and relax with him, enjoy him. I tell people, if they don't enjoy Jesus, heaven's going to be hell for them. Do you believe that? Listen, we need to learn to enjoy Jesus. Don't you want to? Can you imagine Jesus Christ wants to hang out with us for all eternity? That's amazing. I can get bored with people in 2 or 3 weeks. You know, just say, oh, man. But Jesus wants to hang out with us for all eternity. You know what he told me one time? Jesus said, you amuse me. That's what he said. That's what he told me. You amuse me. I tell you, Jesus really talks to us. One time I was, he called it whining. You call it intercession. I was whining to the Lord. I said, God, why do you make me do so many stupid, ridiculous things? I thought he'd cuddle me and go, Bobby, you're a champion. Guess what he said? He said, I have never yet presented you as stupid as you really are. That's what he said. Now, that's the way he talks to me. Then he said, you don't even know what you're talking about. That's what he said. Then he began to show me all the Old Testament prophets. Thanks a lot, Emma. Okay, good. I'll need that after all. See, I get so excited I forget to swallow, and fur balls get here, and I get kind of cotton mouth, and people go, what's that? Well, thank you. I appreciate this. Muchas gracias, señor. Yeah. Yeah, I'm learning Spanish. I'm learning it through phonics, so I went down and ordered Vegetas, you know. Very bilingual I am. Yep. God really likes me. Now, you may have a little problem with me, but listen, I'm one of his favorites. The truth, he's wild about me. I'm telling you. That's right, he's wild about me. Yeah, he comes to see me. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But he'll come tell me some of the things that we need to get straightened out. Yeah. I prayed a prayer one time. I'd have never prayed if I'd have known where we were going. This is true. I was pastoring a church. Have you ever had like the world by the tail? It seemed like everything was wonderful. We had just built a brand new building, a complex, and all this kind of stuff. We had plaques. It's the fastest growing this, da 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 da. And anyway, it was one of those, everything was good. So I'm in my office, you know, my desk, and here's a wooden desk, a big leather chair. And so I was sitting there that day, and it was a wonderful day. So I said a prayer like this. Oh, God, if there's anything wrong in my life, show it to me. You know, a lot of emphasis on if. My. Listen, when I gave him permission to inspect, it was like he took his finger and punched the rewind on the video. It went all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. Way back to one of the first crusades I'd ever done. And the next day of this crusade, the headlines of the paper in that city said, come see this man. He's like Billy Graham and Billy Sunday merged into one. And when I read it, I thought, I blushed. I thought, what a stupid statement. But guess what I really said in the spirit realm? Well, it's about time. And guess what God said? God said, that's pride, it's arrogance, it's a stench in my nostrils. Guess what I said? I'm back in the study now. I said, wow, I better get out of this chair. So I got out of the chair and I got down beside it. You know what I mean? And I put my little head in there. Can I tell you that was just the beginning of a preview of my life? God began to show me things that was against me on his books that I had no comprehension of. The Bible said it's the little foxes that do what? Spoil the vines. I'm telling you guys, the Bible said it's the fly in the medicine that makes the medicine worthless. Ask God to check out the little things in your life. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in a way that's eternal, valuable, and everlasting. Give him permission. He'll do it. Boy, I'll tell you, time that prayer meeting got through that day, I was down under the desk. I was stuck to the floor going, oh, God, yeah. And he goes, it's about time. I'll tell you, if we'll seek him, we'll find him. You believe that? But we got to seek him, Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13. We got to seek him with all of our heart. Now, okay, that's all free. Here we go on the Resurrection Sunday morning message. You ready? We want to talk about the testimony of the tomb. Do you believe you can be right in the middle of the whole thing and not comprehend one thing that it's about? If you studied the New Testament, I don't think one single disciple believed that he would come up out of the grave, according to the Bible. Now, the Pharisees suspected it. Remember, it was the Pharisees that said, whoa, you better do something. Remember, he said, I'll be down there 3 days and I'm coming up. So they said to the Roman soldiers, we got to do something because he said. But I don't hear any of the disciples echoing, get ready, boys. 1, 2, 3. No. It was the lost people, the religious, pharisaical mind that thought, whoa, we better do something because he said he's coming up. So they told the political leaders, remember that? The political leaders, they had a clue. They said, go seal the grave as safe as you can. And they kind of knew it was a losing battle, didn't they? Do you know the devil would have never crucified Christ if he'd have known what was going to happen? He would have never crucified the Prince of Glory. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was in the belly of the earth as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days. Jesus Christ was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. What was he doing there, trying to get over rigor mortis? No! That was my big time voice. You know. No. He was walking the corridors of hell making a proclamation. He was saying to the devil, hey, you can't hold me. Give me the keys. Revelations 1:18 says Jesus Christ came up out of the grave and he came with the keys. He's got victory over death, hell, and the grave. If you believe that verse, the devil can't even lock his door. Isn't that something? That's pretty. Jesus came up with the keys. But I'm going to show you some guys in Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 21. It's the resurrection day. It's the day that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the grave. And there's two disciples, and they're making a journey. Now, I don't want us to be like them at all. In the first aspect of the story, Luke 24, 21. It's resurrection morning. The report is already out that he's not here, he's risen. That the girls have come back to the guys and go, "Whoa, something's up. He wasn't there." And so these two guys, instead of searching out this mysterious fact that he's not there, they decide, "I've had enough of this. I'm going back home." Now, these guys are going to start a journey from Jerusalem. Jerusalem means house of teaching. They're going to a place called Emmaus. Emmaus means the place of retiring, the place of laying down. So I suspect these guys are saying, "Well, I've had enough of this following a Messiah. Let's just give it up and quit and go back to what we were." There's some people like that watching maybe today. There's some people like that maybe in this room. "Well, I tried it for a few days, a few months, a few years. Nothing's changed." And here they are. Let's join those two guys on their trip back home. 7.3 miles. They got a little journey. They're not on a Honda or a Hummer. They're walking. Yeah. Have you been studying the Bible? I was studying the Bible the other day, and one man said to his son, "Don't get a wife here. Go get you one down yonder." It was a 500 to 700 mile walk. Can you? And said, and he arose and he went. I would have liked to have read his thoughts on that road, wouldn't you? I wish Dad would have kept his mouth out of this. Man, I could have found me a gal back there at the house. Now I'm walking 700 or 800 miles. Can you believe that? But when he got down there, everything, well, on the way, that's, remember when he went to sleep and laid his head on a rock and he saw something, go, "Good God, this is nothing else but the gate of heaven." Isn't that something? He saw a ladder. Remember that? And it says, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. Let me tell you something. I believe that if we'll follow God, we'll wind up in places we never dreamed God really was. Isn't that something? Well, that's pretty amazing. But I just got to thinking, that guy couldn't get him a JetBlue ticket or a cheap, he couldn't get Priceline.com and say, "Well, let's see how, you know, what you can do, get me a," see, he took off walking. But you just read those things in the Bible and go, okay. It was not near as easy as we think, was it? I don't think me and you have much excuse for how lazy and lackadaisical we are. Paul one time, I'm still smitten over this. Paul said, "My light afflictions, which are for a brief moment, work for me a far eternal weight of glory." Have you read what happened to Paul and he called it light afflictions? We must be kind of puny or something, man. He was shipwrecked, held perils of brothers. Just crazy stuff happened to him. And he called it light affliction. We get a couple of bad reports written about us in a blog or something. And go, "Oh, I don't know how I can survive." Yeah. We got to toughen up a bit, hadn't we? That's right. Well, we're back on Emmaus Road. Here these two guys are walking. And if you study it in the Greek, it's the wildest thing. It says they're pitching their sorrowful and melodious conversation back and forth among them. Never been so discouraged. This is a dreary thing, you know. We thought he would do something. He's dead. Woe is me. Y'all don't remember Hee Haw a long time ago, do you? There was a movie, a TV program, Hee Haw. And they had some old kind of rednecks laying out by a porch and some old hounds. And they talk about, "Whoa, misery on me. Listen, I wonder what church they got them out of, you know. Oh, misery." Remember, that's not the way we're supposed to be. That's the way those two disciples were. This is Luke 24, 21. And then all of a sudden, listen to me. I think it's going to happen today. All of a sudden, they're joined by a visitor. These two guys are walking. They're sad. They're defeated. They're melancholy because they had some unrealistic expectations. They had thought this Jesus, this great prophet, would get the Romans off of their back and would establish Israel as a rule. But now they didn't. Their founder is dead, they thought. But here they go. They're walking. The third person joins them. And here's what he said to them. What's going on, fellas? Why are you so sad as you drag along this road, pitching these sad stories back and forth among you? And here's what they said. Where have you been? Are you a stranger to the circumstances? Don't you realize that Jesus, who was mighty in word and deed and a mighty prophet among us, was turned over by the Pharisees to the Roman officials, and they've crucified him, and besides this, it's the third day. I mean, listen, they were right in the middle of the message and missed the whole thing. There they are, stumbling back to a place where they're going to quit. Jesus is there. It's Jesus with them. And here's what it says. Oh, foolish and slow of heart, to believe all that has been spoken concerning. And he begins, here's what it says. He begins at Moses and the prophets and expounded to them all the truths taught about him. I suspect that's the greatest message ever preached on earth. Jesus preaching Jesus. You can't get better than that. Jesus preaching Jesus, and they didn't comprehend one iota, one phrase. They didn't get it. So I tell you, Jesus is pretty persistent. Here's these two loggerheads there. Woe is me. Jesus going, this was supposed to happen, that was happening, this was happening. And he does all of this teaching to them, and they don't get a thing. And so they get to their home. They've made the 7.3-mile journey, and it says this. It says that Jesus pretended like he would go on. And it says that they, you know, the Jewish custom was if a visitor comes, you're supposed to offer him dwelling. Remember that? So it was just about to get sundown. And so Jesus pretended like he'd go on. And they go, oh, well, why don't you stay with us a little while? So now watch this. Luke 24, they invite Jesus in. They still don't know who he is. He's in their house now. And here's the strangest thing. It says that they set bread before him, and then all of a sudden, he takes the bread, Jesus does. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. He gives the bread to them. Then their eyes are open. I don't know about you, but do you see something strange there? The visitor, Jesus, begins to be the host. He takes over. I mean, churches, we need to learn that. When we invite him in, he's leading the whole service. See, it's only then that our dullness departs. It's only then the deadness of our heart is dealt with. It says, when he broke their bread and gave it to them, then, say then their eyes were open. Then they recognized, whoa, it's him. And he goes, yep, and disappeared. Now, that's pretty cool. Now, here's what I'm glad, Luke 24. I'm glad the boys didn't go, whoo, that was exhilarating. One of the best services I've ever been in. Let's go to bed. I see people like that. They come to church services. They encounter a living God. They're instructed by the King of Kings. And they go back to their home, and they're the same way. What does these two guys do after their eyes were open? After they realized it was Christ in their midst that had broken the bread and their hearts were burning and zealous now, they said, let's go back to the house of teaching, back to Jerusalem. I suspect there's some folks in this room need to make up their mind to go back. You've been on a road of discouragement, despair. Maybe things didn't work out like you thought. I want to tell you, the same resurrected Jesus can come alongside your heart. He can begin to commune with you. If you'll invite him in, he'll begin to break the bread of life. Talking about the bread, boy, I had a a real encounter with the Lord concerning, and I told John, I said, John, I see Jesus offering to this fellowship and offering to you a bread, a wonderful loaf of bread. The Bible said healing is the children's bread. I'm expecting the fresh bread of God to fill this house. I'm expecting the fresh bread of God's healing to fill this house. But he broke their bread, gave it to them, their eyes were open, and they go shooting back to where they'd been. Don't you appreciate that God always gives us a second chance? Man, I liked it when you were talking about the professional golfers coming. I'm glad God lets us have mulligans. You know, and any golfer knows what a mulligan is. It's you get to hit another one. You know what I mean? So God will let you have a do-over. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that failure is not final. I'm glad there's always a way back to exuberation and enlightenment, no matter how dull and how dumb we are. Jesus wants to appear to us. Have you ever encountered Jesus and you didn't believe it was him? Can I tell you a story, and it's an absolute true story? People ask me, they go, why do you talk so fast? I used to buy television time, and I'm real cheap. That's why I talk so fast. You can get it on DVD and slow it down. It'll get normal, you know. But that's true. That's true. I'm practicing the Bible. I'm redeeming the time. I'm buying up every opportunity. But anyway, I'll tell you an event that happened to me, and it's true. I went into a big coliseum. I'm actually there. A big coliseum packed full of people down at the front with some world-famous evangelists and preachers. And when I walked in, my intent was to go down and visit with some of these folks. Some of them are friends. And so as I start down to visit with them, the Holy Spirit said to me, go back to the back. When I'd walked in the building, back at the back, on next to the back seat, was a man sitting there. And he was sitting with his head hunched over like this and his hair draped down like this. And I suspected him to be maybe a homeless man or a derelict kind of a man. So the Holy Spirit said, go back and talk to that man. I said, no, I'm going to talk to these men. And so I'm walking, and the Holy Spirit said, go back and talk to that man. I said, no, I'm going to talk to these men. Finally, the Holy Spirit said, go back and talk to that man. And I go, okay, you know what I mean? So I turned around like this, and I'm doing it out of obedience, but not out of a willing heart. So I go back there to him, and there he is, still with his head down, still with his face bent forward. So I didn't know what I was going to say, so here I just said what came to my heart. I leaned over the seat, tapped him on the shoulder, and I said to him, well, I'm glad you came. And he goes, no, I'm glad you came. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the guy we're reading about in this Bible. Sitting there, I mistook him for a homeless person. He looked straight through me. I want to tell you something. We better be careful how we treat strangers. Some have entertained angels unaware. I want to tell you. Now, can I throw one more thing out since it's a Easter Sunday morning and all the theologians are here? Here's what happened to me. Jesus Christ walked up to me just like I'm walking toward this globe, and he stopped and he said to me, Bobby, do you recognize me? And it hurt my feelings. I said, well, yes, Lord, I recognize you. And then he does something, John. Here's what he did. He did like this or something and turned into a little humpback, small Chinese woman. He said, do you recognize me now? Then he does this, turns into a black man with a big, bold face, and he said, do you recognize me now? And on through some other people. And then he said to me, you better learn to recognize me and my people. So then I said to myself, I'm not ever telling anybody about that. Then I read Luke 24. It says, they could not recognize him because he appeared unto them in a different form. Now, he can appear any way he wants to. It seems like Mary Magdalene them had a bit of a hard time recognizing him. Are you the gardener? Tell us where you've laid him. Remember that? He finally called her name. She goes, poof! You know, aren't you glad God can call her name and get us out of the stupor we're in? I like to say something else, but I'm... Well, I'll tell you about yourself. God really loves you. I want to tell you about this empty grave. There's a testimony, the fact that Jesus really is who he says. He really is the Son of God. You know, I really appreciate him being Bethlehem's baby.
I really do appreciate Good Friday. I appreciate him being a suffering lamb upon a tree. He was both, but he's neither now. The next time you and I see him, he won't be unrecognizable. We'll see him as King of Glory. We'll see him coming in great clouds of glory. Isn't that something? What you and I need to do right now is begin to really search out the scriptures concerning the kingship of Jesus. One of the great benefits of the resurrection is Revelation 1, 5 and 6. It says, unto him, Jesus, that has loved us and washed us from our own sins in his blood, and he has made us to be kings and priests. Can you imagine that? Man, I like those glasses. I want to see those glasses. There's some kid got some glasses. Let me see those glasses. I like them. Listen, yeah. Good God, this is. Yeah, you know, yeah. Whoa, I see this. You're glowing. Something's happening to you, man. Isn't that something? They some wild stuff, man. Yeah. I mean, kind of bring out my softer side. I tell you, they've got these things now that's virtual reality. You can, you know, watch a movie or something. That's pretty neat. Thanks. I enjoyed that. Put them on, see how they look on you. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. How you been? Me too. I know we got to quit this in a moment. It's Sunday morning. Everybody's got to go eat. This Jesus can change things. You believe it? It's really true. It's high time we let him be who he says he is. He's either who he says he is or he's the biggest fraud that ever perpetrated himself on humanity. The empty tomb is evidence that he's who he says he is. Aren't you glad? You're supposed to preach. Well, that's you are. This girl right here, that'll be good. Well, that just kind of slopped right out. You know, you could have said, well, I think God could be saying to me, he might want to give you some oratorical skills on. But he wants you to just preach. That's true. Just preach. It's true. He wants you to start writing more songs. So y'all collaborate some. Okay? Collaborate. That sounds like what happened to my grandmother's milk. You know, I'm talking about the kind they churn. Yeah. You remember when they used to churn? Y'all don't know spit, man. Listen. My grandmother used to milk a cow, put it in the churn. Oh, man, that would be part of my job, is churning. You know, monotonous, you just sit there and go. You've got a dasher or something down in a, and there's milk down in this crock pot thing, and you're doing like this. You want to go, hurry up. And you have to keep doing until something happens, something takes place with the milk. It's the strangest thing. Then pretty soon it gets hard to pick up and down the dasher, and you open the lid, and there's a ball of butter there. Did you know there's a verse in the Bible that says, when I wash my steps in butter, the rocks poured forth oil? When we take time to be faithful, to do what we're assigned to do, butter is the highest point of the anointing. When I wash my steps in butter. Isn't that something? Yeah. Oh, my grandmother. She never watched a Dr. Phil program. Y'all know Dr. Phil, don't you? But you couldn't fool her for nothing, man. She could read you like a book. I'm telling you, my grandmother, oh, you should have seen her. Little old bitty thing. I remember the first time I ever saw her, John. I was a crawling baby. First time I ever saw my grandmother. I was a little baby crawling around. I can remember when I wore a dress. Remember when they used to put dresses on baby boys? Yeah. That'll get you whipped in Texas, but anyway. I can remember that. Honestly, like, y'all have a mind like that? I can remember. Anyway. Here's my first experience with my grandmother. I'm a little crawling baby, and they cooked on a wood cook stove, you know? And so she had it just bubbling because she was cooking, and I'm crawling over there, and I reached for it, going to pull myself up, and she screamed, you know, scared the crud out of me, you know? And she said, it's hot. And so I thought, okay. So she picked me up. And she said, I'm cooking duck. And now, I'm a little crawling baby. I thought I'd see feathers, you know. And here's my first recollection of my grandmother and her screaming at me was that it's hot. She pulled the lid off. I was so disappointed. I thought I was going to see a greenhead mallard, you know, and it was just food, you know. Yeah, yeah. And my grandmother, she got really old and was blind in a nursing home once. And she had a son that was 77 years old at that time. One of the hardest men I've ever seen in my whole life. He hated God with a hatred that's supernatural. And my grandmother, every time I'd go to see her, she'd say, "Lord, just let me live long enough to see Clyde saved." Hardest man I've ever seen. I tried to witness to him, and you've never seen such hatred because of the wounds of his heart. I thought, "Oh Lord." Then one day, the pastor in the city where my uncle lived called me, and he was beside himself. He said, "Could you come?" I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Your uncle is under conviction." I go there, and my uncle gets born again. It's the wildest thing. So I go to the nursing home where my grandmother was, blind in bed. And I walk in there and open the door. I don't say anything. And she said, "Clyde got saved, didn't he?" Just like that. Blind as she could. Isn't that something? You know what kept him alive? Her prayers. Strangest thing, man. Remember I told you about the blind girl? It was his girl. It was his wife that shot his daughter through the head. Then a death spirit jumped out on his other two kids. And they both died before they were 18 with cystic fibrosis. So he turned to hate God instead of to love God. But at the end of his life, he gave his heart to Jesus, stood in a church, testified to the fact that he's born again, was baptized in water, got on a plane, flew out to the city where his blind girl was living now, and suddenly got a headache and fell over dead with a brain aneurysm. He's in heaven today watching us while we preach. Isn't that amazing? All because a grandmother wouldn't give up. Let me live to see Clyde saved. Isn't that something? We got a God that's long-suffering. Isn't that true? I know I'm long-winded, but well, I'll tell you what I want to do. There's people in this room. You've just about given up on yourself and God. These disciples that we talked about, they had given up. I can feel the despair in their whole scenario we read. They've given up because they thought, well, if we join this movement, something good will happen, and it didn't seem like it worked out. But I believe there's some people right now. God wants to come alongside you. He wants to open your heart to the truth that Jesus is all that he says he is and more. I believe some of you go, well, I'm so disappointed, I don't even know if I could respond. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will draw you. It says, no man can come to the Lord except the Spirit draw him. If you have the least indication that you want to come, you can come. Isn't that amazing? See, it's the Holy Spirit that awakens a desire. It's the Holy Spirit that begins to say, there's a better life than you're living. And I want to tell you something about God. He can take all the pains of the past, forgive you of them, cleanse you, and it'll be as though it never happened. We saw the verse. Somebody quoted the verse. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, observe, all things become bright and brand new. You believe he can take the pains, all the disappointments? You believe you too can be enlightened like those guys were? Can you see them when they beat their pathway back to Jerusalem going, he is alive. We've seen him. He was in our house. That's what we need. We need to fill the streets of Toronto, fill the streets of the nations with the testimony. He is real. He is alive. He's in the house. You believe that? I do. I'll tell you what. We need to be much more energetic than we are. Well, won't you trust him? Look what he's done for me. Oh, listen, we ought to be so happy people wonder what we're on. It's true. Well, you know, I'm not one of those outgoing people. Well, get over that. You need Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will help you to get over that. I'll tell you what, you get full of the Spirit of God, you won't have a problem with timidity. The Holy Spirit brings with him a bag and it's full of boldness. You want that? Well, he loves you and he wants to minister to your heart. Anybody in this room say, Bobby, I've heard about this Jesus, but I'm somewhere sort of like those disciples. I'm not really sure he's all that he says he is. I need a real encounter with him. I want that to happen in my life today. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to know for sure if my heart stopped. He's my living Savior. Anybody in this room like that? If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to pray with you. This will be a day you can be introduced to Jesus Christ. He'll become a reality to you, not just somebody you read about in a book. Anybody want to give your heart anew and afresh and real to Jesus? Raise your hand if you will. We're going to pray with you. Don't be afraid. There's one. Anyone else? Just raise your hand for a moment. You go, well, you know, I don't want people to know. Listen, don't be afraid of what people think. If there's a beating in your heart and a stirring in your bosom, now's your time to respond to Jesus. Anybody here want to give your heart to Jesus and really know for sure everything's settled with Him, everything's all right? Lift your hand. We'll pray with you. There's one over here. Here's one. Here's what I want to do. I want you to all pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving yourself up on the cross for my life and my sins. Forgive me of my sin, Jesus. Wash me in your blood. I invite you to come into my heart. Save me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I receive you now as my Savior. Oh, thank you. That's so wonderful. Here's what the Bible said. All that come to Him, He'll in no wise turn away. It's an amazing thing. He takes your sins, your failures, your sorrows, and He gives you peace. He gives you contentment. It's the greatest exchange on earth. I mean, it's better than stock markets. It's better than... Listen, what an exchange. You give Him all your trouble, He gives you His peace. Now, if you really meant that prayer when we prayed, would you just stand for a moment? We're going to go ahead and don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. That's wonderful. Listen, you know what the Bible said? There's a lady standing right there. And here's what the Bible said. There's joy in the presence of God and the holy angels over one sinner that repents. I'm telling you, the whole thing would be worth it for this person right here. Do you believe that? Now, I'll tell you what, Pastor, would you invite her down and just do what you want to do? There's others that need to respond also. Some are waiting till they can figure it out. That'll take too long. You can't figure it out. You just have to experience it.
Well, how about we all stand up, and those of you that raised your hands, I don't know who you were because I was looking at the front, but can I get you to just come up to the front right now? One of the traditions that we have at our church is we like to bless people. And the Bible says that when you bless somebody, God is actually obligated to do what we say. Because it's actually not our words, it's God's thoughts. Come on up here, man. Where are the other folks? Because I think Bobby said there were several of you that put your hands up. Where are you folks? Come on up. Where are you? If you brought a friend today, can I get you just to turn to them and say, I don't know if you put your hand up, if you didn't, but if you should have put your hand up, let's go to the front together. Where are you, folks? Talk to your friend real quick. If you brought a friend, say, I'll come to the front with you. If you're unsure of where you're going to be if you were to die today, where you're going to spend eternity, you need to do this today. You need to be sure. You need to absolutely know. We have a friend of ours that has a joke, but she's serious at the same time, is that there's two sections of eternity. There's smoking and there's non-smoking. You want to choose the non-smoking section. You want to choose the section where God's living in, is what you want to do. Anyone else here this morning? Were you coming up? Yeah. Good, where are you? Perfect. Come on. Bless you. Congratulations, sir. Great. Do you see the smile on your friends' faces? Your dad. Oh. How long have you been praying for your dad?
Since I came to Christ last year, almost.
So you came to Christ last year, and then you've been praying for your dad to do the same. She's been thinking of you for a year. That's good, isn't it? That's very good. You've been thinking of him for 5 years, you said? Very good. Let's stretch your hands to them. There's a lady over here, a gentleman over here. Just close your eyes, sir. Father, would you come for this lady and for this guy? And Daddy, we're asking for the Holy Spirit just to surge right into the very core of their being and for eternity to come into their hearts right here, right now. May they feel it, may they know it, that God loves them with a love that is never going to end. Father, would you come and love up on these people this morning? You may be at your home right now, and you're saying, you're waving your hand, and we can't see you. That's probably true. And if you're at home and you've never given your life to Jesus, it's just a matter of saying, I acknowledge that I need Jesus, that I'm a sinner. I invite him to come into my life. And Bible says that you're to confess it. We're to say out loud, as it were, I choose Jesus. And so, Father, we bless these men and women today. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. How about we congratulate them once more? Bless you guys. Well, I'd like to do one more thing just before we finish. I'd like you to grab hands with one other person. I'd like you just to close your eyes. We're going to ask for the Holy Spirit's boldness, his courage, his presence, for the Christ that was raised from the dead to be inside each one of you. And for that same boldness that came on Jesus, where he could walk up to two strangers and just join them and wasn't afraid of what was going to happen, but he just recognized God is going to use us in the same way that God used Jesus to bring hope to those two guys in that road. And Father, I thank you that throughout the history of planet Earth, that since that day when Jesus rose from the dead, millions upon millions, we're into the billions now, of men and women who become followers of Jesus and who are changing the world. And Father, for changing the world, that could mean just in my house, and like this lady, 1 year follower Jesus praying for her dad for 1 year. Father, we're asking for our houses to be changed. We're asking for our streets to be changed. Why don't you just say the name of your street? I live on Sylvania Drive in Mississauga. Father, we're asking for our street, the neighbors that we have. Father, we're asking that you give us supernatural thoughts for other people. I don't know if you grasp what David, our pastoral intern for the youth, had, but I think he was outside Mount Sinai Hospital in University yesterday, sees a lady pushing a stroller with a little baby, and is compelled by the Holy Spirit, runs across University, gets to this lady with a simple word, God wants you to know you're a great mom. And she breaks down crying. I cried when I heard it yesterday. It was like, oh my goodness. Can you imagine that lady visiting her child in a hospital because her child's been in a car accident, holding on to life, all the junk that would become against that lady, and some young Scottish guy comes up and she can't even figure out his accent probably. And all he says is, God loves you and you're a great mom. Changed her life. Father, we're asking that you give us those kind of opportunities. Give my friend that's standing beside me those kind of opportunities this week. Give us those opportunities even today, Daddy. And friends, I want to encourage you, it's not you that'll do this. It's God living in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Paul said, he's in me. And he's in you. He's in us. So, Father, may we go with your anointing. May we go with your grace. Daddy, may today be a great miracle Sunday. All different things that you want to do, Daddy. Make them happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, we're not having a healing service here tonight, so the building's going to be closed in an hour or so. So just want to bless you and have a great Easter day with family and friends. I know some of you are probably having family events and meals and things like that. God bless you. Remember, this weekend we have James Gall is going to be with us Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. We have a business workshop on Saturday as well. And next Sunday morning, Reinhard Bonk is going to be with us. It's going to be a great time. So God bless you. Those of you on the internet, thank you for joining us today. God bless you.